to you live from the Vegas Video Network studios, just steps from the Las Vegas Strip, it's golf and other four-letter words. And now your host, you've heard him on ESPN, Fox Sports, and Sirius XM Radio, Mr. Dennis Silvers.
First guide, a very cool golf publication. If you haven't had a chance to look at it, get a chance, do it. Hi, I'm Dennis Silvers. Welcome to this edition of Golf and Other Four-Letter Words. And thank you. The four-letter word for tonight is ball. Why is it ball? Because I tell you, Jimmy and I are going to have a ball doing tonight's show, and we want you to stick around so you don't ball if you miss the show. You know, because if you like golf, you're going to love golf and other four-letter words. We've got a great show. We've got a great guest for you tonight with my good friend Jimmy Ballard. But I want you to get a hold of me, and there's a couple of different ways to do that. You want to mail me your questions, your comments, your suggestions, whatever. A couple of different ways to do that. Email address here is golf@vegasvideonetwork.com, golf@vegasvideonetwork.com. Also, go online to vegasvideonetwork.com. Hit that live chat button, and you could send us in a question, comment, or whatever, like I said, and hopefully we're going to have a chance to get to it by the end of the show. Also, when you're online, that will give you a chance to check out all the other great shows seen exclusively right here at VegasVideoNetwork.com, like their new one, Talktail. I love that new show, Talktail, with Chris Phillips, Mondays at 4, Zowie Bowie. Guys sit around, drink, they have a good time. Anyway, let me tell you a little bit about my special guest tonight, longtime friend, Mr. Jimmy Ballard. Jimmy is a PGA Tour instructor, has been for a long, long time. Probably you've taught, what, half of Las Vegas to play golf, Jimmy. You've been around for a long time. Jimmy was also a great collegiate player, a standout at Oklahoma State, a former PGA Tour player himself. Also, a couple of years ago, was inducted into the Southern Nevada Golf Hall of Fame. So, Jimmy, great having you on the show, my friend.
Thank you.
Honored to have you on the show. I want you to kick back, relax, have fun, take it all in, say what's ever on your mind, give it the full nine yards. Excuse the pun.
Full nine yards.
That's a wedge. Okay. Sandwich, whatever. Anyway, before we get into the show and in our discussion with Jimmy, let me just talk about our great sponsor, Las Vegas Paiute Golf Resort. As I mentioned, Las Vegas Paiute Golf Resort is the only 54-hole facility in the valley. They've got three great Pete Dye Championship golf courses, and I keep saying, Jimmy, all these golf courses are to die for. It boosts one of the largest practice facilities in the valley. They have an outstanding membership program called the Advantage Club, and awesome facility. We've talked about the Wolf, we've talked about Sun, we're going to talk about their last course, Snow Mountain, which is one of my favorites. Let's take a look on the screen. Let's look at hole number 9. I believe this is the going into the green on number 9. Beautiful little dogleg right. You can see you got a little bit of agua on the right-hand side. I've fed the fish there many a time playing this hole. And let's look at also another view of number 9. It is just beautiful. Great shot of the background. You've got a little bit of the Spring Mountains over to your left. Gorgeous, gorgeous setting. And finally, we're going to look at also, is it number 9 or number 2? Which one are we looking at? 14, I was close, 214, whatever. Another beautiful little par 4, humps and bumps, typical Pete Dye design. Absolutely such a fun golf course to play. Locals got a phone number for you if you want to call them and make a reservation. Highly recommend it, 658-1400. If you're coming to Las Vegas and you want a great golf experience, it's toll-free, 800-711-2833. Also, you could go to their website. It's lvpiutegolf.com. So do yourself a favor. Go out there. Give them a tumble. You'll have a great, great experience. All right, I'll tell you what. We're going to get to our first segment in the show, and that is one of my favorites. It's going to be one of your favorites. We call it Tournament Scorecard. All All right, tournament scorecard. Jimmy, Bubba Watson, long hitting left-hander Bubba Watson wins the Zurich Classic in New Orleans over Webb Simpson for his third PGA Tour victory and the second this year. Pretty impressive.
Oh, I think he's just really great for the game because he's self-taught. Even though I'm a professional teacher, he was blessed with some great hands. It's not a swing that a good teacher would teach, but it's the swing that God gave him.
Yeah.
And he's doing awful good with it, and I just love his style. He's a swashbuckling. He's
great.
Yeah, he's really good for the game.
He's a good-natured guy. He's turning into really a world-class player. But you brought up a good point. He's self-taught. And obviously, there's two kind of players, Jim. We'll get into this maybe a little bit later in the show. There's a guy who's very mechanical, and there's a guy who's a feel player, okay? He's obviously a feel player.
Totally.
Envisions a shot, does his swing, makes it happen. That takes a lot of talent.
It takes a lot of talent. And just those that are given those talent can swing that way.
He's not that big of a guy. I don't know how many of our viewers have ever seen Bubba Watson in person. He's not that big of a guy. He's got a waist, you know, like this, for crying out loud. How does a guy hit the ball so far?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. He's got a very, very free arm swing. He creates a lot of speed with his arms and his wrist. A lot of speed there. And he's a strong guy.
Yeah.
You know, when he hits the ball, he's catching it clean, he compresses it. So.
He's very supple, and you're right, it's all about speed. And that's what you got to have to hit the ball as far as he does. All right, let me tell you a little bit about what happened to Bubba last week. Picks up a check for $1.15 million. So obviously that is going to go to pay a few bills. Moves him from 11th, Jim, on the money list to number two, with just under $3 million. So a great, great year so far for Bubba Watson in the money department. And by the way, he's only $22 behind Luke Donald, who's number one currently on the money list. So that's pretty strong. FedEx Cup points, he went from number 10 to being number one on the FedEx Cup points list with 1,339 points. That's important because, you know, at the end of the season in the race, these guys are coming down there playing for $10 million.
That's so, what Furyk won his $10 million
That's
for
exactly
year.
Right, last year. So good for Bubba. Also, world ranking points, as we've talked about every week, is very, very important. Went from number 16 to number 10, so that's a nice move for Bubba.
Big move.
Big move. And also, we talked a little bit about his driving distance. Currently number two on the PGA Tour with 311 yards, just behind J.B. Holmes with 314 yards. So that's pretty. I mean, you hit it that far, Jim, you're going to destroy most golf courses. It becomes an easy game, doesn't it?
Becomes easier. It never becomes easy.
You know what? That's a good point. You make a very good point. Let's talk about GIR, or GRR. That's greens in regulation. How about this? Number one, with an average of 74.07%. You hit it deep, you hit a lot of greens, you putt pretty good like he does. Gosh, Jim, that translates into a lot of money.
I could live on the amount he's made this year so far.
$3 million, could you handle it?
I could handle it. It's more than I've made this year.
I'm not kidding. I don't know what your rate. Crying out loud. What do you charge an hour? I thought you charge $1,000 an hour. Like
I give most of my time away anyway.
He does. You know what? One thing about Jim Ballard, he's the only teacher I know, seriously, that actually gives money to his students. He teaches all of the good junior golfers in Southern Nevada. He gets it in the air. Here's a dollar. You never did that to me when you worked with me.
You were just too old and you had the mustache.
Thanks, you.
That was a giveaway right there.
I love it. I love it.
That's just for the little kids.
All right. I'll tell you what.
But it does turn them into winners. They learn how to win.
And you've certainly coached enough winners in Southern Nevada, let me tell you. All right. I'll tell you what. We're going to step away, take a short station ID right here. We come back, we're going to have a real fun segment with Jimmy Ballard called Birdies and Bogeys. You're going to love it. Stay with us. We're going to be with you right after this.
Hey, baby. Hey.
Gentle. Okay, all right.
Hi, this is Jacob Cannon from Let's Bet, and you're watching the Vegas Video Network. Now somebody bring me a jelly donut.
All right, hi, welcome back to Golf and Other Four-Letter Words. I'm your host, Dennis Silvers, along with my special guest tonight, Mr. Jimmy Ballard. Birdies and bogeys, Jim. I'm going to give you some gossip, some media news that's going around the tour. I want you to tell me what you think, if it's a birdie or bogey. First one is a great, great story. Monday qualifier, left-hander by the name of Ted Potter Jr. wins last week on the Nationwide Tour event for his first Nationwide Tour win. First guy to do it since Kyle Reifers did it back in 2006. Pretty astonishing.
A miracle. No, I mean a birdie.
A birdie.
A birdie, absolutely.
It's pretty.
It's a miracle when you do that, but that's a birdie.
This was a good golf course. He played against a pretty good field. Other than getting an exemption, what's this do? What's a win like this do for a guy like that going forward?
Well, you know, Tiger Woods once said when they brought him along, he had to learn how to win in different levels. And he was making that comment when Michelle Wee, they threw her in the lion's den with the men, and that really hurt Michelle Wee because she didn't keep winning at certain levels. But once you know you can win, you know you can.
Yeah.
And that's a hard threshold to move over.
It is.
And you take the last round, these guys find out the New York apple is not the only big apple.
Yeah, you're not. That's so true.
It's the one that swells up in their throat.
That is so true. That's a great point that you win. So congratulations to Ted Potter Jr. If I'm not mistaken, I think he's played on the Hooters Tour and has had a couple of wins there or was Player of the Year on the Hooters Tour or something. So coming over in Monday qualifying, which is hard enough because there's usually only about two, three, maybe four spots available, and these guys are hungry. They want to get in, shooting good scores, and to qualify and to win the event is absolutely pretty astonishing, absolutely a birdie. All right, Jimmy, playoff loser Webb Simpson, who lost in a playoff to Bubba Watson last week at the Zurich Classic, was penalized, a one-stroke penalty, as you know, when his ball moved on the green as he was addressing the ball, ready to make a short putt for par. Cost him one shot, ended up tied at the end of the tournament, went into a playoff with Bubba, and as we said, lost on the second hole. I believe the rule is under consideration right now by the USGA to be changed because they know it's stupid. The wind comes up, whatever, it's a bad, bad penalty, as he called it. What's your feeling about it?
Well, I think it's a bogey, the ruling.
No doubt.
I think it's a bogey. It's a shame it ended up that way because there was a 16th hole. The caddy was in the way. I couldn't see had his club touched the ground behind the ball. That is deemed addressing the ball if you do that. If he hadn't touched the ground and it moved, that happened to me once.
It
did. In a PGA tournament, yes, in Northern California, an old-time tournament, and called the Kaiser Invitational. And, you know, I had about a five-foot putt, bent over, the ball moves, but I wasn't even close to the ball with my club. Mm-hmm. But when the greens get crusty and windy like that, they can actually set on just a blade of grass or two, and then anything can make it move. No, that's a bad rule. That's a bogey.
That is a bogey. And you said a definitive word there. You said crusty. I think the greens by that time were getting crusty late Saturday afternoon. The greens are slick anyway, and when you've got the wind swirling around like that, it's real easy for that to happen, and it is a bad rule. I'm glad they're taking it under consideration, and they're going to end up changing the damn thing, and I think it's long overdue. Absolutely. Here's one that absolutely kills me. Former Braves pitcher John Smoltz, who's a pretty good player. I think he's a plus one or he's a scratch or something like that. Got invited to play last week in the Nationwide event, making his tour debut. Okay? Shoots 84, 87. Misses the cut by 27 shots. Should he have been there? I say, John, to anybody that does that, takes a spot for a PGA Tour player, you know what? Stay in your own profession. I know you're a good player, but this is a whole different element. Stay away. You're not that good to play with the PGA Tour professionals. What do you say?
I say, John, come and take lessons from me.
There you go.
Because I can make a real good living just teaching you. You've got a lot of lessons before you can play with these guys. Everybody, and you know the same thing. Who was it? Ken Hawk Harrelson.
Yes.
I remember when I was playing the PGA Tour, and the old system was so hard. There was a Monday qualifying. Sports Illustrated, a few page spread there, and he says he's getting out of baseball because golf is so easy. I'm sitting in the barber's chair and I'm thinking, this ain't easy, folks. I went once 4 weeks, didn't shoot as high as par, and didn't get in a tournament.
Yeah.
Now you have to call your sponsors and say, I'm not playing this week. It's a different ball game.
It is.
You don't know how good
game.
These guys are.
That's exactly right. Sure, he's, you know, John Smoltz is an award-winning pitcher. I mean, just absolutely fantastic. But he's comfortable there in his own element. You get the even though they play a lot of golf and they're good, but you get these guys into the heat of the moment, the competition, and these guys are good. It's just not a good deal. I definitely.
I'm thinking about a singing contest with Andrea Bocelli. Who do you think is going to win?
I like to see that. I like to hear that, I should say. All right. How about this? A guy in Colorado finds a tour called the Pro Legends Golf Series. And the first event, Jim, is going to be held here in Vegas. He's calling it the Football Legends $1 Million Shootout. It's going to be in early June. They're going to play one round at Desert Pines. They're going to play one round at Royal Links. Then, later in the year, he's going to have a Pro Basketball Legends tournament here in September. It costs you about $2,200 for the golf in the room if you want to say, you know, I'm just not into this, okay? I've got nothing against a guy coming up with a little entrepreneurial style, putting something together. But to be honest with you, I don't want to shell out $2,200 to play with a guy that played football, you know, 30 years ago that I might have. You know, why doesn't he do he's doing baseball, he's doing football. Why doesn't he do, you know, a tiddlywinks?
Put on the shoulder pads and beat on each other.
I don't know. What do you think about something like that?
Well, I wouldn't spend a whole lot of money playing with another sports celebrity. If I'm a true golfer, I think the great celebrities in golf are the golfers.
I agree.
But if I'm really into other sports, and I've got a lot of money, I might pay that kind of money just to be around somebody in the sport that I love.
Yeah, yeah. You know, that's.
We'll see.
We'll see how successful the guy is, and you know, obviously, it's good for Las Vegas. We wish him luck. Get people out here. I think the MGM Grand is the host hotel. And it's kind of always a good thing, but you know, it's a baseball and football. Why doesn't he do a bowling one? You know,
there's an idea.
Bowling legend. I don't know.
There's an idea.
Whatever it is. So anyway, we wish him luck. All right, that's birdie. So you say it's a birdie or a bogey? I say it's bogey.
I say bogey.
You say a bogey. All right, we're pretty well in agreement tonight, except
so
the
far.
Andre Bocelli thing. I don't know. All right, time for a real fun segment. We hope we get some live chat questions from you. I've got some email questions. This is a segment where Jimmy is the shining star in this.
Oh.
We call it Handicap Helper. All right. Got a bunch of email questions. We're going to take them one at a time, Jim. Don't forget, live chat questions for our co-hosts to get your game in better shape. In fact, we've got one right now. Scott?
wasn't quite ready for you to go that fast on me, brother. We actually got a couple, three questions here on the live chat. We're going to start with Wally. Wally wants to know, does it pay, is it helpful to use more expensive balls?
Is it helpful in your game to use more expensive balls? Boy, I've got it, but I'm going to let you kick it off, Jim.
Well, you don't go look for those top flights too long, do you? If you're using a more expensive ball, you might be a little more prone to make sure you hit it straight so you can find it again. But a lot of people playing the game, the ball doesn't make that much difference to them, you know. So, there's ball fitting, and you can go to different companies. Titleist does it, Bridgestone does it. and find out which is the best ball for you. I've had students that started out in the game, how'd you play? Great, coach, I only lost 6 balls.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and so if you're losing a bunch of golf balls, play the cheap one. And when you get better, play the more expensive ball.
I was going to say, when I was learning the game, Jim, I was told until you become, get up to the next level, so to speak, you don't have to spend a lot of money on golf balls. You're going to be losing them, you're going to be cutting them, and so on and so forth. So go with the, you know, the lower, the moderate price. Mm-hmm. Then when you get a little more talent, you could start using a little better ball, and you know, that'll work for you. But I think that was a... I think that was good. George from Southern California, Jimmy, wants to know, he says, I've been told that I need to work on my release. Any help? I can tell you, George, don't feel bad. I've been working on my release from probation for a long time now.
They finally did release
question. Yeah, they finally did. But that's a good question.
Well, usually there are things prior in the setup that are the reason that you can't, well, he says release. Most people think of that. They're not getting the club face back where it should be at impact.
Right.
And so you have to go back and check where the club face sets at address, check your grip, make your turn, check your wrist position. Hopefully it can be pretty flat with your forward wrist. And then keep your head back so everything can release over. I think the release is this. It's never been described properly. You start, you set angles between the club shaft and the forearms. Mm-hmm. You keep those angles in there until the last split millisecond, and you release them back to where they should have been. That's the release.
Good. That's the release.
And a block is where you block or hold those angles in there.
That's very good advice. And that's one of the reasons I love Engelbert Humperdinck. Please release me.
And I suggest for this gentleman, if he needs to correct that slice, go see John Smoltz.
Yeah, very good. We hope that helps
and
you.
And Smoltz should have been playing a cheaper ball.
Absolutely, should have been playing a cheaper ball. All right, we've got one other, Scott.
We got 2 more. That's outstanding, Jimmy. Jeff, great question from Jeff. He wants to know, for someone just starting out on golf, what are the basic clubs they should get, and how much should they initially spend on those clubs?
Good question.
I think that's a great question. If you are just starting out in golf, usually whatever club you have is better than you are. But as you keep improving, go to a good professional or club fitter that can then tell you what clubs you really need. The proper shaft, grip size, lie. Everything. At first, you will morph into a different player than when you first started.
Yes.
You will improve, and so wait until some of that improvement has happened, then go to a professional, and your golf clubs, learn good basic fundamentals, because that's what helps you hit the ball good. If you have those, then you can hit about any club. There is a club that fits you better than any other club. Mm-hmm. It'd be nice if you could find that one.
All right.
But, go get some good fundamentals and work hard on your game.
Not like when we were learning the game. Typically, you would cut down your dad's clubs.
Oh,
and, you know, they'd be too heavy. But nowadays, the juniors get fit so well, and they make them specifically, you know, where the club head matches the shaft weight and the whole deal. It's just a whole different thing. But good answer, good question. Lance wants to know when I think this is a very interesting question, Jim. Lance wants to know, when playing into a crosswind, is it better to hit the ball lower so it's not affected as much? I think that's a very interesting question.
Well, I think
question.
That's a real good question. You know, I grew
good
up
question,
in Kansas.
Good question, Lance.
I grew up in Kansas where the wind does blow, you know.
Did you ever play with Dorothy?
Dorothy wouldn't even date
okay,
me.
Dorothy
okay,
Dorothy would.
So, no,
but Toto would, all right.
I dated a lot of Totos. Believe me, I did. And, if you get into real strong winds, the trouble's up here in the air.
Yeah.
Not down here low. So Yeah, if you hit it lower, it won't be affected as much.
Yeah, that, I think that's stupid. And of course, you know, you see the guys on TV, they have a big crosswind, so they're hitting, you know, if it's left or right, they're hitting a hook into it, you know, to hold it up or ride the wind. So we're not that good.
That's a different deal.
We're not that good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they can slice a ball into a hook wind or hook a ball into a slice wind. But usually, for most people to play this game, pick out a new target to the right or left, depending on which way the wind's blowing. Square up the club face there, then square up and take a swing and let the wind be your friend.
Yeah.
Let
the wind be your friend. Scott, I think we have one more.
We do. Our last question from the live chat. It's just a simple one. Have either of you guys ever had a hole in one?
Dennis?
I've had four.
Boy, I hate to.
Did you buy
I'm going to one up him here. I've had five.
Oh, come on.
Really?
Well, the first liar never has a chance. You know that. I had a double eagle once, though.
Well, I was going to say I would easily trade one of my hole-in-ones for a double eagle. I've come close a couple of times, but I would trade one of my hole-in-ones for a double eagle. And I think you got written up for your last hole-in-one, didn't you? Wasn't that at Scandia before they tore that down?
Well,
that's a miniature golf.
This is when they...
with the clowns and the, you know, the whole deal.
But it wasn't official. They didn't have the windmill turned on.
All right, last one real quick. The good question, Doug, it looks like he's from Las Vegas, wants to know, Jim, why chippers are illegal since he's got one.
Well,
it's a good question.
If it has one side on a chipper, it's legal. But he must be talking about one that's double-sided.
Double-sided, that's what
double-sided
I'm guessing.
Double-sided is illegal.
That's what I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. They're real handy. Once you use them, they're great clubs.
But well, you know, the
SGA. I don't like them.
Why are they illegal?
Well, because you can go both ways with them. And so that's what makes them illegal.
Yep. Yep. But they sell a lot of them. Still make them. They sell a lot of them.
Yeah, but it takes up one extra spot in your bag.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Good answers. All right. We've got some golf for you coming on this week. We got some good events. Tiger was supposed to play in there, but as everybody knows, he's hurt. He pulled out. Wells Fargo Championship at Quail Hollow in Charlotte, North Carolina. Great, great golf course. Arnold played today in the Pro-Am, of course, with his nephew, Sam Saunders. And gee, Jim, it's real funny. Sam got an exemption into the tournament. Do you think Arnold had anything to do with it?
Oh, I think so. I imagine he did.
Yeah, I think
but
so.
But I tell you what, for what Arnold Palmer's done for this game, if Sam Saunders couldn't play, let's say he played like John Smoltz, then that's a stretch getting him in the tournament. But
he could play. All right, LPGA Tour, the ladies are off, so plenty of time for manicures and pedicures for them. Champions Tour, the region's traditional at Shoal Creek, Alabama is going. Nationwide Tour, the Stadium Classic of UGA, University of Georgia Golf Course in Athens, Georgia. Europeans got a good one. The Open de España. Can you guess where that is? That's in Spain. That's always a good event also. Anyway, Jim, I want to thank you for coming in. Great job.
Thank you, Dennis.
It was awesome to have you. And if you're looking for some really, really good golf lessons, get a hold of Jimmy Ballard. He's at Palm Valley in Sun City, Summerlin. Just get information, call the pro shop, and they'll be able to hook you up with Jim. I want to thank our great sponsors, the people out at Las Vegas, Paiute Golf Resort. Give them a call. Three wonderful golf courses. You'll have a great, great time out there, especially if you're new to the area. Next week, we have a very, very good guest coming in. He was supposed to be here this week. Had a conflict, though. Mr. Matt Grobe, who's the director of golf and the head golf professional at Dragon Ridge Country Club in Henderson. Also, don't forget, get a hold of me, golf@VegasVideoNetwork.com. Check me out on my website, LVGolfGuru.com as well. You think I know my own website, for crying out loud. Anyway, thanks for hanging with us. We're going to see you right back here, same place, same time on Vegas Video Network. Until then, fairways and greens today, everybody. We'll see you next week.